Good evening. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. We begin with a shout-out, a thank you to one and only Jake Weinman for bringing us together every night of the week, learning Hashem's Holy Torah. Special thank you to Mitch Green for his technical assistance. Special thank you to all the Choshev Rabbanim who devoted the Lev of the Nefesh to learn and teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. We begin tonight by dedicating the Shir, the Zecher Uli'il Mishmas, Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. May his Neshama have an Aliyah. Thank our sponsor for his generosity in sponsoring this experience of learning Torah, the Zecher Uli'il Mishmas, this Neshama. We also, of course, want to dedicate the Shir as the merit of the Chus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael, Hanasunim Batfaro Vashivya, all of the hostages that are still in captivity, to Refuah Shleima, to the hostages, to the Chayolim, who have given of themselves, the Klal Yisrael, and for Zechus of Shemira, protection, for the Chayolim, who are giving their lives, putting their lives in harm's way, Moitzu Nefesh, to Klal Yisrael. I have a friend who has Chaverim, Eretz Yisrael. He told me that his chaverim, who are now on the front lines every day, they say vidui. I know we've seen many clips on our chats and all different forms of electronic media. We see the chayolim, very beautiful, inspiring, who are being entertained by the members of Klal Yisrael to keep their spirits up, to keep them in a frame of mind that is powerful and productive and full of inspiration to know that we are there with them. But many of these soldiers, in addition to the singing and dancing that we witness in electronic media, are also reciting the vidui before they go out to the battlefield. And our hearts are with them, our prayers are with them, and may everything that we do be a zechus for their safety, their security, for them, Klal Yisrael. And we should hear good news soon. This week is Parsha Yishlach. Parsha Yishlach this year is very relevant. A very, very relevant Parsha. Always been relevant. That's another statement. But this year especially, where we learn about Esav, the encounter of Yaakov Avinu and Esav. Here is mature men, a reunion. The last time Yaakov and Esav had an encounter was after Yaakov received the blessings from Yitzchak. Esav discovered what has happened, and Esav pledged to kill, to murder Yaakov Avinu. And Rivka and Yitzchak told Yaakov to flee, to go to Aram Naharaim to get married, to find a wife, Rachel and Leah. And indeed, on the way, as he escaped, his son Eliphaz caught up with him and wanted to kill him, wanted to fulfill the instructions of his father to murder Yaakov Avinu. The hatred was deep. And we know that Rashi tells us that Eliphaz, after Yaakov persuaded him not to kill him, he took from him his possessions, his assets, everything that he owned, according to the Medrash, even took from him his clothing. And because he had nothing with him, he had to work for Lavan for 20 years. His life took on a whole new trajectory because of the hatred of Esav to Yaakov. And here now in this week's parasha, when Yaakov Avinu is returning to the command of Hashem to go back home to his father, he meets Esav with 400 men. Yaakov is terrified, utterly terrified, and divides, prepares the war, prepares a lavish gift, and this mispalel, and he comes and he meets Esav. Esav falls on his neck and he cries. He kisses him and he cries. It would seem that this is a reconciliation between Yaakov and Esav, but Rashi tells us not so fast. There are dots on the word Vayishakehu, on the word that says that he kissed him, to tell us that he did not kiss him according to Rashi's first interpretation. Yesh darshu nekuda zu leimar sheloi noshku b'chol livay. Even when it seems that Esav, shows affection to his brother Yaakov, it's not b'chol livay. And in Rashi's second interpretation, it seems to indicate that it was b'chol livay. Rashi limits this to tell us it was just for a moment. B'oisashah. Let me read the words of Rashi. Yeshadarshu b'kuduzu. I read the Rashi in the beginning. B'kud alav. There are dots. Dots will, it's not, there's a whole explanation of what the dots there, how this indicates this meaning. But the simple words of Rashi are, V'yesh chokim adavar hazeh b'raisa d'sifrei. There are the rabbis who disagree about this concept in the Braisa, the Medrash, the Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha on Sifrei, Bamidbar, and Devarim. Yesh adarshu nekuduzu loymar shaloy noshkei b'chol iboy. Amar b'shim ben Yechoy, Halacha hi b'yadua she'esav soinei liyakos. There is a halacha. This is a fact that Esav hates Yaakov. Ela shenichmiru rachamav b'oisashah. At that moment, he was overcome with mercy. Unishokoi b'chol liboy. Rashi here says something very, very fascinating. Rashi over here, he limits the love of Esav for Yaakov. Rashi's first interpretation, he tells us he didn't kiss him sincerely. He did not kiss him with his full heart. He may believe it wasn't a sincere kiss. And Rashi's second interpretation, it may appear that indeed it was a sincere kiss, but don't assume that this is always the case. It was only b'oisashah, the norm, the default of Esav is to hate Yaakov. If we witness in history, we witness a time when Esav shows mercy, we have to appreciate, we have to give Hashem shavach v'hoidah that we're living in an era of the oisa shah, a moment of a break from the default seething hatred that Esav has for Yaakov. There's never a time when we can keep our guard down. According to Rashi, we have to beware. Maisa ovo is simin labanim. What has happened to our ancestors is a sign for all of us. There is not a time that the love of Yaakov, the love of Esav for Yaakov is sincere. And if we do find moments when it is sincere, we have to understand that this is not what we could expect to endure for all of time. But Isa Shah, we can never let our guard down. Certainly this is very relevant to what is happening in the world today. Ever since the war began in Eretz Yisrael, throughout the entire world, there have been violent, vicious moments, outbreaks of the nations of the world, all representatives, descendants, ambassadors of Esav who have demonstrated their hatred for us with violence, words of hate, with expressions of hate, behavior of hate, all different elements of society the world of academia, in the world of streets, wherever we turn, diplomacy, the United Nations, in every dimension, their seething hatred has come forward. A poignant reminder, Halacha hi biyodua she'esav soinei Yaakov. Never let your guard down. Always watch your back. The only one that is protecting us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to mention a short idea going further in this concept. A few moments later in the Pesukim, a very lavish gift is presented to Esav. Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Ches. When Esav beholds the gift, he says to Yaakov, Vayomer, mi lecho kol hamachaneh hazeh. The words mi lecho are very difficult to translate. Mi means who. Lecho is to you. Look carefully in Rashi. Rashi appears to almost struggle to translate these words. In fact, he uses the magic word kloimar. Whenever Rashi says the word kloimar, it's, I remember when I was in yeshiva, our Rebbe taught us, it's like a stop sign. Stop sign, you come to a complete stop. You have to appreciate that what Rashi is going to tell us, something that is not literal. The interpretation that he will tell us is not something that you can literally fit into the words. The words are meant to serve as an expression, as an idea. And Rashi says, Koloimar, these are very fascinating words of Rashi. Lama hu lecha, which seems to be understood to mean, Yaakov, why do you have all of these animals? Why do you have this? Now, in the simple reading of the Pesukim, that doesn't seem to fit into the narrative. From the simple reading of the Pesukim, it would appear that Esav was taken off guard. He did not expect that these animals, all different types of animals and assets, would be given to him as a gift. And the Pasuk says, what's all this? You're giving me a gift? I'm shocked. I can't believe this. I'm not expecting this. I came to kill you. I didn't expect to be greeted with a red carpet and a parade and a lavish gift that I've never seen before. I'm in shock. Mi lecho kol hamachaneh hazeh asher pogashti. What's all this about? It's an expression of shock and wonderment. What is this amazing collection of assets that are being presented and escorted by your men, by your servants, which I've come across, I've encountered? And Yaakov says, Vayoma Limsachin Bene Adoni, I'm giving this as a gift. Well, what's the question to my brother? I'm giving this as a gift in order to find favor in your eyes. What's the question? But Rashi does not appear to learn that's what the Pasuk means to say. Rashi says simply, why do you even possess these assets? What does that mean? What is Rashi really trying to say here? Let's go further. Let's ask another question. Vayomer Esav. Esav said to Yaakov, after Yaakov said, I'm giving this to you as a gift in order to find favor in your eyes. Vayomer Esav. Esav responded, Yesh li rav. Thank you, but no thank you. It's very nice of you to offer this gift to me. as a goodwill measure, but I have more than I need. Yes, Liwav, I have an abundance of assets, of animals. I have wealth and success. Achi, my brother, Yehi Lecha, may it be to you, Asher Lach, what is you, what is yours. In other words, keep it. I don't need this. Yaakov goes on and he says, no, please take it. And Rashi over here says something very, very fascinating. Rashi says, when he said the words, Achi Yehi Lecha Asher Lach, here in these words, it is hidden that Esav admits that the firstborn right truly belongs to his brother Yaakov. Yaakov, I sold you the Bechaira. It's yours. I'm no longer going to contest. I'm no longer going to fight with you. You purchased the Bechaira for a bowl of lentils, fair and square. Our father Yitzchak blessed you. He recited, Gam Baruch Yihyeh, you shall be blessed. When he realized that you took the blessings without him knowing in disguise, he said, it doesn't matter. Gam Baruch Yihyeh. And likewise, he gave him more blessings. My brother, keep all those blessings. That is what Rashi on this pasuk says. Kan hier hoideloi al habarachas. Here in this pasuk, Rashi sees that Esav admitted that Yaakov Avinu is the rightful possessor, the holder of the blessings. But generally, when Rashi says something, Rashi very often builds upon what it says in Targum Unkelis. And here is no exception, because there's a very fascinating Targum Unkelis. His words of Amar Esav, Isli Sagi, Esav said to Yaakov, I have an abundance. Achi, my brother, Atzlach Bidilach. Be successful in what is yours. Targum here does not translate the words literally. Every so often, the Targum injects a word or two. The Targum translates words in the Pasuk in an unusual way, which opens up a world of commentary. And here is no exception. The Targum says, V'yom Esav, yesh li rav, achi, my brother, yehi lach, asher lach. You should be successful. Achi, my brother, atzlach, be successful, bidilach, in what is yours. And on that Rashi builds, what is yours? Yaakov, what is yours? The firstborn right. Keep it. I will no longer contest. You are right to the Bechaira, to being the firstborn, and with that comes the service of the Beis HaMikdash, that comes to be the heir to Yitzchak, to Avraham, to carry on the legacy of Avraham Avinu, to make in this world a resting place for Hashem's divine presence, to be the Am HaNifchar. It's true, you deserve it, and you should keep it, and you should be successful in building upon the legacy of Avraham and Yitzchak. What's going on here? What is going on over here in the previous pasuk and in this pasuk? There's obviously something very more than meets the eye. I'd like to suggest a very simple idea. There was a misunderstanding between Esav and Yaakov. Esav knew, Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas, told us when Yaakov asked Esav if he would be willing to sell the Bechorah, the firstborn right, Esav said to Yaakov, tell me, what is this all about? What does the Bechorah do? And in essence, he said to Esav, the Bechorah is the one that's going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. With being a Bechor comes a responsibility to be Hashem's loyal servant, to build for Hashem a Makam HaMikdash, to offer Karbonos, to learn the ways of Hashem, the Derech Hashem, to be involved in spirituality. And Esav, in essence, says, it's not for me. I have an urge, I have a need to enjoy this world, enjoy the good that this world has to offer, to benefit from the materialistic elements, blessings of this world. I'm not cut out to serve Hashem, to abstain from gashmius, to hold back from pursuing wealth and materialistic success. So you know what? I'll sell you the firstborn right for a bowl of soup, some lentils. Years have passed. Many years have passed. And Esau certainly heard that Yaakov, he spent 14 years studying in the Beis Medrash of Shem Be'ever. He certainly was aware Yaakov was the Yoshev HaHolim. And one thing I can tell you, and we all know, there is no money in Torah. In the world of learning, in the world of yeshivas, those that are heavily steeped in learning Torah, who sincerely pursue a life of spirituality, they don't have time. They don't have the ability to succeed in accumulating wealth. It just doesn't go like that. Not everyone merits shtei shulchanos to be successful in business, successful in parnasa, in the profession, and also be a world-renowned Talmud Chacham. Doesn't go like that. There are exceptions, one in a million, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But if you pursue Torah and your Shemayim, the way Hashem made this world is, there's a consequence. A person often struggles for parnasa. It's a sad reality. Esav, he assumed all these years that he has not seen Yaakov. Yaakov was heavily steeped in Torah and Avodah because he purchased the firstborn right. And he's probably destitute. He probably doesn't have a penny to his name. How could he? If his occupation is Torah and Avodah, and if my son Eliphaz took away from him his very last penny, he probably can barely survive. He lives off breadcrumbs that some benevolent person will throw to him, his leftovers. And here he comes and he meets Yaakov Avinu, and he witnesses enormous wealth. He witnesses a lavish gift that only a king could afford to present. And he says to Yaakov Avinu, according to Rashi's interpretation, "Mi l'cha kol hamachne hazeh." He doesn't say, what's all this about? He knows what this is. He knows this is a gift. But he's in shock. How did you get this? Why do you even have this? If you took from me the firstborn right, you purchased the Bechoira, this is not what you do. A person who purchased the Bechoira, his mission in life is to be in the Beis Medrash, learning, not making money. Why do you even want to own, to possess these assets? Rashi's words are kiloimar, lama hu l'cha. Why do you even have this in your possession? How did you get this, all of these assets? Is this what you've been doing for the last 20 years, attempting to accumulate wealth? Is that what it's all about? I thought you purchased the Bechoira because you want to learn. You want to serve Hashem. What's going on here? Why do you have this? And Yaakov Avinu said to him, you're right. You are correct. I don't care about this. I don't need this. I don't need to have assets, wealth, and lavish palaces and automobiles, and private jets, and hotels, and delicious food. I have no desire in this. Everything that I have is for you. Everything that I have is limsechein b'einei Adoni. Let me explain. Chazal, a very, very famous Chazal that's always said over in the Bein HaMetzarim period. Chazal tell us that if the nations of the world would only understand that the blessing that they receive in this world, the material blessing that they receive in the world, only comes to them through the Beis HaMikdash, the merit of the service of the Beis HaMikdash, not only would they not dare attempt to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they would send their best soldiers and armies to protect the Beis HaMikdash like the pupil of their eye. Because it's only in the merit of the sanctity, the service, the divine presence that rests upon the Beis HaMikdash that the world is blessed with peace, with plenty, with prosperity, with material blessings, which they enjoy. Their purpose is not to sit in the Beis Medrash and study Torah. They live their lives. But they're foolish in not understanding that the channel of blessing that comes to the world is through the Jewish people, through Klal Yisrael. Esav sees Yaakov and he sees he's surrounded with enormous material blessing. He's shocked. I thought you purchased the Bechira. I thought my father gave you the blessings. Why do you have material blessing? Why do you even want it? What is this doing in your possession? And Yaakov Avinu says, you are correct. This is for you. The satisfaction that I have in serving Hashem is so great. I don't need this. This means nothing to me. How did I come into my possession? I don't even know. It happened without me even trying. He worked for 20 years. There's no question about that. He worked as a slave. So we've read last week's parsha. But that was not because he wanted to accumulate wealth. That was because of his integrity. And it was natural that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showered him with material blessing. But he says to Esav, Esav, this is for you. When I serve Hashem, there's a channel of blessing that comes into this world. And it filters down. It trickles down to the whole world. And you will be the biggest beneficiary of this material blessing. Everything that I have, you want to know why I have it? I don't want it. The reason why I have it is only that it can be, you can benefit from it. There is a trickle-down effect of material blessing that comes through Yaakov Avinu. Limsechein b'enei Adoni. And now when Esav finally understands the way the world works, he understands that Yaakov Avinu indeed has no desire, but it's only because of Yaakov Avinu's service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a channel of blessing that comes to this world. He says, if that's the case, then indeed, may you be successful in fulfilling the blessings of our Father. Indeed, may you be successful in exploiting the brachos of the Bechira. Indeed, you deserve the Bechira. You should have the Bechira. And you should be successful. Achi, atzlach b'dilach. The Targum says, Achi, yihi l'cha shelach. Kan hoydeloy ala brachas. Parum, achi atzlach b'dilach, be successful. Unfortunately, nothing has changed in all these thousands of years. The Umos Olam don't understand this. Esav did not understand this for 20 years. For 20 years, Esav, 21 years, 22 years, depending on how long this meeting took place, he didn't understand this. That the blessing that comes to this world only comes to Klal Yisrael. But we can leave off with a word of comfort that whatever happened to our ancestors happens to us. Myself is similar on him. Just as Esav eventually came around to understand how the world works and was able to say to Yaakov, Achi atzlach bidilach, be successful. Be successful in your service of Hashem. The day will come when the nations of the world will look up to the Jewish people and the hate of Halacha hi biyadua she'esav seina Yaakov will dissipate. And they will see the beauty of the Jewish people, of their service to Hashem, and recognize that it's only through Klal Yisrael the world is blessed with prosperity, success, happiness, material blessing. And they will say to the Jewish people, Achi, atzlach bidilach. We wish you a blessing of success. Halavai, halavai. The Nehera of Yameinu in our days, such a fulfillment should come to be. In the meantime, we have to watch our backs. Halacha yibiyadua she'esav sene Yaakov. May we merit Soyreis, Toivos, Yeshuas, and Nechomois. May you all have a wonderful week ahead with success and brachon, prosperity. She'ol here, Yeshuas, and Nechomois, the Chlal of the Prat, the witness, Bias, Koyel, HaMashiach, the Nehera of Yameinu, Amen. Good night.